hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. A little different greeting today than yesterday. So yesterday I was talking about Taco Tuesday and all that sort of stuff. So we'll make this a wonderful Wednesday, okay? And I don't know if there's a food group that starts with W that I guess wonton soup. Yeah, I guess we could do wonton soup Wednesday or something like that. But anyway, we're glad that you tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM and you're going to spend the next half hour with us here on the Refresh Radio program. We are talking about the glorious concept of forgiveness and being a forgiving people. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, and we have been talking about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And, you know, if we want God to forgive us, we have to be. It is required that we be a forgiving people. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. It's not whether or not it's easy. It's whether or not it is the right thing to do. And God makes us more than overcomers. So he's going to equip us for everything that we need so that we can be forgiving. It's not something that's going to come out of ourselves. It is something that's going to flow from him to his glory. So that's kind of where we're headed today. But before we get there, we do want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They can be reached at 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And I can recommend them if you need air conditioning. But right now it's a little on the cooler side. It has been. And, you know, so you might be using your heat. And it'll get warmer, and then you'll need your air conditioner. And we need electrical all the time. So if you find that maybe you've got outlets that don't work, light switches that don't work, light fixtures that don't work, maybe you're in an older home and you need a panel to be replaced, they can do that. They've just got decades of experience. They are really, really good at what they do. They love Jesus. Dennis and Carla are a gift to the body of Christ. And so we just recommend them highly. And if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. They can get you up and running, keep you up and running, and help you to keep your cool. So praise the Lord for that. So we're going to talk today about forgiveness again and how we can do that. On yesterday's program, we talked about that we are forgiven and we can be forgiving for the sake of his great name. And we do it for the glory of Jesus. We're going to piggyback on that today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 26. And if you're turning in your Bible while you're turning there, or if you've got your electronic Bible and, you know, typing that reference in there, I want to remind you tonight is the first night in our new format on Wednesday nights where we've got an adult Bible study going on in the sanctuary. And we have our youth group, Acts Youth, going on, ACTS. That's going on in the fellowship hall. There's going to be pizza tonight. There's going to be just a huge kickoff celebration for our new Wednesday night format as we transition from a class format to a group format. And so if you've got young people and they're not plugged in someplace, look, they need Christian friends. My daughters, when they went to college, we didn't tell them where to go. We just asked them to consider a Christian college because there had been so few of their peers that they attended church with when they were growing up. It was a down season in our youth. It's kind of a transitional area. So people are coming in and going out, and we went from a pretty healthy youth group to practically a non-existent youth group overnight, just blam. I hate that when that happens. But we asked them to consider going to a Christian college just to consider it. Not, we weren't telling them where to go. It would have been financially better for us had they made another choice, but it wasn't our choice to make. It was theirs and God's. And that Christian dynamic in a peer relationship is invaluable. And so I tell parents, I cannot guarantee you that you will not hit rough waters if you raise your kids in church and if you raise your kids in a Christian youth group. I can't guarantee you that you won't hit difficult seasons, but I can with almost 100% with 100% certainty guarantee you that if you don't put them in a Christian environment, that you are going to have some significant challenges. It's very, very hard to raise godly children in an ungodly environment. Very, very difficult. I recommend having your kids plugged in a church where they are hearing the word of God. That's the most important thing. And then they've got Christian friends that they are able to influence and be influenced by. You want good company affecting godly character, not bad company affecting godly character. So if you'd like to be a part of Acts Youth, my daughter Robin is doing a great job with that. And we've got a number of other leaders that are involved, but she's primarily the point person there. She works here in Brevard County, a full-time job. She's in management and in a medical setting, works in a lab, and she loves Jesus. She's a phenomenal young lady, and I honor her. All of my kids are phenomenal young people, and I'm not saying that because I'm biased, but if you want me to say it because I'm biased, I can say it that way too. Let's get to the Word of God. Amen. So Acts chapter 5, verse number 26. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So let's look at these principles, and there was a point of tension here between the religious leadership and the apostles, and Peter and the apostles answered and said, "Look, we've got to obey God rather than obey men. If you remember my teaching on what does rebellion look like, rebellion is when we or those over us position ourselves out from underneath God's perfect will. And so when the religious leadership began to persecute the church, they moved out from under God's will, and they expected everybody underneath them to stay in line underneath them. But Peter and the apostles said, "Look, we got to stay right where God positioned us. It's you who moved, not us." Okay? And so when society makes a move away from God, it's not rebellion on the part of the people of God to stay in obedience to God's word. And we're not in defiance there. We actually send out a loving invitation that God is the forgiver, and he will bring you back. He will forgive you, and he will place you right where you were supposed to be all along. I heard a testimony of a young adult here not too long ago, and he described how he got out of alignment very early in his adult life, and there was an altar call that was extended, and he wasn't going to go. He was actually working this event, and his boss in his earphone said, "Hey, you know what? you need to respond. That altar call, you just need to go down there. And he said, so I went in obedience, but when he got down there, he had an encounter with God, and God restored him back to where he was supposed to have been all along. That's what God does. And so they said, we've got to obey God. We have to. We've got no choice in the matter, no viable choice in the matter. No one else has the words of eternal life. You can't get to heaven by any name except for the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved except for the name of Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And so they said, this is where we're staying. And he said, the God of our fathers, this is in verse number 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Okay, so there's the concept of resurrection. God raised him up. And it says, him God has exalted to his right hand. If you remember on our last program, we talked about how that if we're running into a question of why should we forgive for the glory of the name of Jesus. We do it for God. Would you do it for God? We're going to see a little bit more about this process here, because it is the process of exaltation. To exalt means to lift up, to bring to a higher place. And it said that God was the one who was in the exalting business. I get very cautious when I go into a new setting, because I don't want to position myself any place that I am not supposed to be. And so while I was on my missions trip, the person that I was sitting with, said, I've got to go over here just a second, and I'll be right back. And the next thing I know, I see him being ushered up to the platform. And the guy that was sitting next to me, he said, go on, you're supposed to be up there. And I said, well, I wasn't invited up there. And he said, go on. And I mean, we had this discussion on, you know, go. And he must have encouraged me to go half a dozen times. And so finally, I just went back there, and I stayed where I was supposed to, or off of the stage. And then the person who had control of the stage said, you're supposed to be up here. And it's like, oh, well, you know, when that person says that's where you're supposed to be, then you go. But I don't want to be in the self-exaltation business. I want God to be in that. So when God exalted him, He gave him a name that is above every name. He's positioned him higher than anyone else. He is in a position of power and authority. And he said he exalted him to his right hand for these purposes: to be prince, okay? To have royal authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore. You and I need to realize that as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we have a position of divine royalty going on. We are children of the Most High God. And as such, I encourage you to look at headlines. Just type in Meghan Markle, or, you know, whatever princess title that she holds, and look at how many articles have been written in the past few months about royal protocol and royal procedure, and how that there is an expectation of people, and it's a huge gossip industry, and some of it might be true and some of it's not true, but more than likely not true. I can't say it definitively because I'm not there. But the point I'm trying to make is not whether or not they should make fun of this princess or criticize or anything like that, just that as a member of the royal family, she is expected to behave like royal family. And you and I need to realize that as we go about our daily business, that we carry God's presence on the inside of us. It should affect the way that we walk. It should affect the way that we talk. Everything we say, everything we do reflects upon Him. And so I have to be very careful when I'm conducting myself to make sure that I represent God well. There are things that I won't do because I want to represent God well. There are things that I won't say. There are things that I won't post on Facebook. There are things that I won't comment on. There are things that I type out on a keyboard and then hit backspace, 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 because it doesn't reflect the way that I want it to on God. There are some things that I don't comment on because I want to reflect Jesus well. That's my thing. Jesus is exalted so that He could be Prince and Savior of the world to give repentance. Jesus is exalted to the position of Savior. Jesus literally means God saves. And He's still in the salvation business. He's still in the redeeming business. And what happens is, when He's in the redeeming business, He gives repentance. A lot of people think that's a horrible word. Why should I ever have to apologize for who I am? Well, first of all, I apologize for who I am because I was a sinner. I was an enemy of the kingdom of God. If you want to go back and look, David had Absalom raise up in rebellion against him, and there was a person that greeted him and started hurling rocks down on David and casting all sorts of curses upon him and speaking bad about him. And then David ended up winning the battle with Absalom because of Joab. And when he did, guess what? For some reason, I think his name was Sheba. But he came back and he's like, "Oh, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for all of the things that I said and did. I was so wrong." He had a serious change of heart. Saul had a serious change of heart. Repenting is not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. Let me say this to dads. If you want to give a tremendous gift to your spouse and to your kids, to your wife, if you blow it, if you say something you shouldn't have said, do something you shouldn't have done, lash out when you shouldn't have, repent. You would be amazed at what practicing repentance in front of your family will do. You know what? It will not undermine your credibility. It will enhance it. Because guess what? They already know you blew it. They already know when I blow it. And so whenever we say, you know what? I'm going to repent before God, and I'm going to repent before you, and I'm going, that's not just saying I'm sorry. Okay? That means a complete and total change of behavior, change of mindset. I heard about a man on the mission field, and there was something that was cultural in that society, and through some teaching, this man came to a place where he spoke to his wife and he said, "We're not going to do it the old way anymore. We're going to have our marriage be a marriage the way that God intends it to be." And I will tell you that guy had an impact on me when I was on the mission field. He was a wonderful, wonderful individual to come in contact with. So repentance, to give repentance to Israel and to give forgiveness of sins. Now here's the point that I want to make, and you might be able to go back and review some of these lessons and get one little note, like yesterday's was on repenting for the glory of God, or forgiving for the glory of God. And there is forgiveness is when we receive forgiveness, it makes us alive. When we extend forgiveness, it gives life to a relationship instead of death to a relationship. And so today, if the point that I could give to you that would be noteworthy is this: if you are struggling with forgiveness, exalt Christ in that situation. That means to take him and lift him above the hurt, lift him above the pain, lift him above the offense. If you're struggling to forgive, take your focus off of that person and off of the circumstance and get your eyes on Jesus and take your thoughts captive and say, you know what? God deserves to be exalted, not just in heaven. He doesn't need to be lifted up to a higher place in my heart. He needs to be lifted up to a higher place in my thought life. He needs to be lifted up to a higher place in my mouth, and he deserves to have dominion. That, remember, prince, a person of authority, dominion, as well as savior. He doesn't come into a situation just to be the savior. He comes to also be Lord, to have dominion over that situation. And so when we are granting forgiveness, we say, Jesus, I want to lift you up above this. The things that you have for me are greater than the hurt that has been inflicted to me. You having lordship over this is more effective and is going to produce greater spiritual fruit than anybody else. I'm not going to have this weigh my relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to subject my spiritual vitality to pain and hurt and disappointment and discouragement being the Lord of my life. There are a lot of people who right now are listening to the sound of my voice, and you, like I have been hurt or wounded in church. I tell people I have been wounded in church, and, you know, in all honesty, I've probably done my share of wounding in church. Now, I can tell you, I've apologized to a lot of people. I'm not here to proclaim perfection. I'm not the perfect pastor. At one point in time, I thought I was super pastor, and that where other pastors had failed, I was going to be able to succeed. And when I experienced the same setbacks that they did, you know, I took super pastor out behind the woodshed, and super pastor didn't come back. Just Pastor Bob did. And so I'm under no disillusionment about how much I need Jesus. Okay, so I've probably done my share of wounding as well. But if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, I want to ask you to exalt Jesus over the disappointments and the hurts and the wounds, the words that may have been spoken, the promotions that never came, the promises that weren't kept. I want you to lift up Jesus above that. Maybe you've had some horrible things spoken over your life right now, but I want to ask you to reposition Jesus to where he has preeminence over those things. Let Jesus be the first person to speak into that situation. Let him be the final authority. And I will tell you that it is impossible to exalt Jesus. And I've got a picture going on in my spirit right now of using both hands to lift up Jesus. It's impossible for me to exalt Jesus, to push him to a higher place in a relationship or in real life. if I've got both hands pushing him higher, I can't hold on to a grudge and a hurt and a pain at the same time. So I had a situation that I was was on the phone with somebody, and it was one of those situations, and I said this: I bless you, I support you, and I bless you, and I'm not going to hold on to anything. I just want you to know I'm on your side. I believe in you, believe in your ministry, believe in your gift to the body of Christ, because I want Jesus to be exalted. When Jesus is lifted up, guess what? People start getting drawn. They start getting drawn closer to him. And by that very reality, as we're drawn closer to him, we get drawn closer to one another. If you're struggling to forgive, focus more on Jesus than you are on the hurt. And don't get distracted. You know, there's an old song, an old chorus that we said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Exalting Jesus in your situation will certainly make forgiving those who hurt you a whole lot easier. And I don't really have any other way to say it. It's just something. I want to equip you with a tool that is going to make it easier not to get stuck in bitterness and offense, because God doesn't want you stuck. He wants you victorious. He wants you more than a conqueror, and I do too. So that's where we're going to end today's program. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. Come out to the Bible study tonight. It's kind of a small group format for our adults in the sanctuary. And then we've got the launch of Acts Youth Ministry on their new night, Wednesday night, tonight at 7 o'clock. And we're looking forward to great things coming forth as a result of that. Go out, make it a great day, have a wonderful Wednesday, and we will see you next time right here on the Refresh
Radio
Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Forever, author of salvation, he rose. rise and conquer the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.